Ride Podcast. I'm your host here, Starks. You can find me on X at Starks_industry. You can also find me on Threads, Fishers of Men 21. I'm not here alone this evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you may be in the fantasy world. I have the wingman, LT the Sage. How are you doing today, brother?
Doing good, doing good. I don't know if you had mentioned last week, I have a coming of age story. Hurt my back working out. And you know, it's you always say when you get older, your body starts failing you, and looks like it's true. So, but I feel a lot better this week. You can find me on X as well, LT_the_sage. Looking forward to talk about some fantasy, man.
Yeah, sounds good. In this episode in particular, we're going to touch up on a few topics, and my apologies, last week I tried to squeeze it in, but I also got busy on my end, but I'm glad that you're feeling better. So let's get right into it. I'm ready to take people on for a ride, and I'll go ahead and take the ball up court to start us out. And it's the guy I want to talk about is Miles Bridges this year, that I'm sure that he's, you know, in the more expert leagues or people that are not so casual in fantasy has probably already drafted Miles Bridges. But if he's available somehow in your league, you need to add him immediately. Now, we know that the thing that, you know, what has happened or what he did with his, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or if it was his wife, but we obviously don't promote, you know, domestic violence here, but you know, it's fantasy, right? So if he's available, essentially, like, because he was putting up what, like, at his career best inside the top 25. Now, the interesting about this in particular that I enjoy about what he could potentially do is, I mean, he was averaging, you know, I don't have my stats up right now, but he was averaging like 20 something points, maybe just 20 points and 7 rebounds, close to a block, giving you a little assist, and he can shoot good at the charity stripe, and he was pretty efficient. A player that, you know, if you drafted him, you would have been able to draft him in a Yahoo format like after round 10. And if you got him, as LT would say, you're smiling from ear to ear, because from the report that I was reading, they don't have any limitations on him. So he's been practicing in the facility. He's done the due diligence as far as the community service, I guess you can say, speaking to his coach and try to make himself a better person in general. And, you know, they need him out there. So I'm going to pass you the ball on your thoughts on him, LT.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, we have to, in some respects, disassociate from the real world to fantasy. But I respect anyone if you don't want, you know, if you don't align with, you know, what Miles Bridges does, or, you know, what he does in his off time, then by all means, don't pick him up. Don't associate with that player. You know, you can win without him. I respect that. If you do have him and you decide that you want to add him to your team, he's going to probably slot in and play, you know, heavy minutes coming right in. He's going to, I don't know exactly where he's at in rotation. It might be a couple games before he gets fully, you know, he starts. But I'm guessing about 25 minutes right off the bat. And then eventually he's going to go settle into his role of 30 plus minutes. As I'm looking at end of last year time frame, Starks, he was easily hitting 35 plus minutes on most games last year. So he, you know, at the end of the year, they did have some injuries last year, but still I foresee him jumping in and kind of rekindling that fire he had at the end of last year. Do you have him, Starks, stashed away?
I do. And the thing is, I like how you articulated and broke that down. Just like if you want to disassociate with, like, even picking him up, if he was there, or that's understandable too. But yeah, I stashed him in both leagues. And looking at this report here real quick, as you asked me that, looks like he's going to step into a larger role, like, immediately is what they're saying. Okay. So that's very interesting. So 25 plus minutes seems to be reasonable, but yes, I drafted him in both leagues, LT.
Nice, nice. And then I'm thinking Brandon Miller takes a hit. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been playing, you know, pretty large minutes for a rookie. Maybe, I mean, he'll still come off the bench, play that role, but he's been playing heavier minutes with some injuries. I'm thinking Brandon Miller takes a hit, probably some hits to my guy G Hay. And maybe some PJ Washington. I don't know if, you know, I'm not too sure on the rotation, We'll see how they play these players. Everyone's been playing, you know, Jihei, LaMelo. They've been playing pretty well. PJ Washington, too. Terry Rozier is hurt. So maybe maybe that's where some of those extra minutes, you know, we'll see when Terry Rozier is fully healthy, how he slots in. But it'll be definitely something to look forward to this week.
For sure. And I think you touching up on it, I think the biggest L would be the guy that you drafted, I think, LT Jihei. I could see him essentially maybe coming off the bench as a six man, but, you know, him starting to, that can, you know, still be there just because I can just see them injecting more of the youth there in Charlotte, which would make more sense. But either way, and looking at Jihei, he had actually a really good game prior to that. So, you know.
The back game today, but back.
Oh, not today. Yeah, not today. It doesn't look like. Okay, so just actually transitioning to the Clippers with, I'll pass you the ball on that, LT. Go ahead and run that, man.
Man, listen, Starks, man, your boy, the beard, right? I don't even know if he's the beard anymore. What is he? The goatee? I don't know what his name should be now, but he's gone there, and he's just messed it all up.
Well, let me steal the ball real quick. Per the announcer, he's not the beard. He said something else. He's the problem. So I guess that's what it is now. But go ahead.
Oh, man. Yes, that is an all-time greatest clip. I think Starks found, I think you found the Nas Ether background music playing to his whole clip. Pure cinema. It was amazing. It was I loved it. But, yeah, I think it's a little early. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, James Harden is one of those players that you do need to learn how to work with that. I do think that Westbrook probably should come off the bench. Mm-hmm. I don't know how them two really play along with each other. I think the issue is that they both have the same, they do the same things. And it worked in Oklahoma, OKC, because, you know, Harden was coming off the bench back then. I think that they'll figure it out, though. I think right now I was looking, Paul George is doing a little better this game. I'll take a look at some of these other stats real quick for y'all, but they'll figure it out. I'm not too worried about it. I think they're all fine value there. What do you think, Starks?
You would think the person that takes the biggest L is Russ, but, you know, even looking at this game currently, it's like he's still taking the shots there, and they're all starting. But, yeah, it's too early to – say what's going to happen there, but hopefully they figure out as far as them gelling. Harden, you know, it is hard for me to accept this and how he's turning into just not that guy. He's not the beard anymore. You know, I know he has a beard, but you guys know what we're talking about when we say he's not the beard anymore. He's just not the same guy. And it hurts me to say that because this guy's been the staple for me, even when I started fantasy, you know, when LT introduced me to fantasy basketball, this guy has definitely been the staple. I had to get him in my teams like every year somehow. Mm-hmm. But how this is going to function as far as fantasy is concerned. Now I know you're looking at the stats and Paul George, it almost seems like he's playing a little bit better this game, and I'll let you talk about that, but it has kind of killed the momentum in some sense with the Clippers, because ever since Harden has came, they've been, they're 0-3. Now, obviously, we're recording while games are going on right now as far as Memphis and the Clippers are playing. Memphis was up for like almost 10 points, I think, but now it's closer now. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it doesn't turn into an 0-4. But I will say, with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Harden's on the bench. So that's interesting. Then I'll pass you the ball, LT.
Yeah, yeah. Another, I'm going to talk about something else in this game here on the other side of the ball, because I think it's worth mentioning. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Clippers, the usage rate has gone down for everybody, just a smidge. Kawhi, Paul George are down about 1% usage rate. Westbrook as well. Harden's come in and kind of disrupted a lot of what they were doing. And it's because they don't, you know, it's kind of, it's not like a midseason. It's kind of like at the worst time. They were just gelling. They were winning. And they were all getting appropriate usage rates. Even Ivica Zubac was doing good, and he's been dwindling a little bit the last couple of games. So again, you're just gonna be patient with those guys, especially people like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. It sucks because they were looking at maybe second round value coming out, and now with Harden in there these last four games, it's like maybe more like, you know, later round. But they'll figure it out. And then in Memphis, Starks, I wanted to just mention What if I told you Xavier Tillman was a fraud? What if I told you that it was Bismack? That's right, Pancakes Bismack Biyombo that is the guy we were supposed to add in Memphis. What would you say to that, Starks?
That I would say I'm glad that the $23 that I put down that I didn't get him, so I've saved some money. That's what I would say. But Tillman has been a little bit owie, right? But it looks like it may be the Biyombo show for now. I don't know. That's interesting, man. I really don't know on that one. Yeah. But I want to say real quick, like, I think that was good. I want to go back. I just want to say this about the Clippers real quick. We'll definitely go back to Memphis. I didn't think I would say this, but looking at how the fantasy landscape is now, I think I would, and this is, I don't want to say this, but two players I would almost essentially take on the Clippers and Harden. You know, obviously I'm not going to have Westbrook. We know that. But like, would I take George? I think I would more safe to say George, but could I take Kawhi, injury prone player that honestly is probably the best value player out of all of them as far as like nine cat category wise, as long as he's healthy, would I take more of the risk on Harden? That's what I'm kind of like in debate with. I might. And that's hard for me to really say that it's probably leaning on that. But I hope that changes. But I'll give you back the ball. If you want to say anything on that or just talk back Memphis, that's fine.
No, we're good there, Memphis. The thing about this game that's interesting is that Memphis sucks this year.
Yeah.
They're bad. And the Clippers right now are struggling against Memphis. I think they lost to another, like I think maybe the Rockets. I forgot what team it was. It was like
it was the Rockets. They got smashed by the Rockets. Right?
Smacked by the Rockets. And the Rockets are playing well. Dylan Brooks looks like a perennial all-star. I hate to say it. Dylan Brooks looks like, he looks good. The whole team, Adoka, he's a good coach. We know that no matter what he does, you know, outside of the sport, he's a good coach. So they look like a well-oiled machine over there. And that's crazy how different the Rockets look. But Memphis isn't good. And so the fact that the Clippers with these guys are struggling against Bane, Bismack Biyombo, I shouldn't say Bane. Bane's cool. He's a Dottie, Roddy the Rod Piper. Like, yeah. You know, these type of players, Salty Aldama, they should be winning by at least 15. And so hopefully they figure it out for if you picked them in fantasy, right now, everyone's slotting lower than projection. So hopefully that changes. I'm going to go ahead and move it over to the 76ers where Harden came from. We send our prayers out over to Kelly Oubre. I don't know if you guys heard, but he unfortunately got hit by a vehicle at his residence. And so he suffered some broken ribs and some scrapes and stuff like that. He's going to have a lengthy recovery. Get well soon, Mr. Oubre. Unfortunately for fantasy, we'll have to put him on IR and then look out for the next in line. It looks like Nicholas Batum is going to get the first crack at the rotation. And then Robert Covington looks to also play a little bit more. Starks, do you like those guys maybe as flyers pickups in 10 team? I'm not 10 team, sorry, 12 team, 14 team formats, or maybe get the boy Furkan Korkmaz. What do you think?
A good question, man. The bench is very putrid in Philly, but I will say, because Batum has been getting a lot of minutes, to be honest, I would hope Covington would be, but you know, they're very iffy with it. But I would actually, well, in a 14 man league, I would obviously, to me, I would add Covington, maybe potentially fringe on a 12 man league of Covington. The reason why is because of the stats. He's averaging 2.1 steals this year. Mm-hmm. And this is the guy that should have been, getting the minutes. I thought he was. He was, and to be honest with you, I'm going to put a flyer in on him. He was one of the guys I had a flyer in the main league. But the issue is, and I know you had him, and I know he was frustrated, LT, like the minutes he's getting is really trash. It is. I get it. 14 minutes last game, 15 minutes the game prior before that, and then 4 minutes the game prior before that. But it's the steals, the rate. Now, obviously, it's not sustainable, but the last few games, 4 steals, 2 steals, and 3 steals, just in that limited amount of time. I would hope that he gets the minutes. But out of the two, I would swing for the defensive stats of Covington. Batum is kind of that guy too. Like, he can do that. So it's just about like, okay, Batum in one of his last games that I see, he had 26 minutes, but his stats are super empty. Mm. And so is Covington's. Don't get me wrong. The mindset would be you go for the person that gets the opportunity of minutes, which would lean on Batum. But I think I would take more of a crack on Covington.
Yeah. They're going to give Batum the first crack at it. It's weird because when he was on the Clippers, I think Covington had more of the, you know, coach's goodwill for time and playing time. He was starting over on the Clippers. And then, you look now and Batum on Covington and Batum on the 76ers. It seems like the 76ers staff, I think it's Nick Nurse. Is that who's over there? Is more inclined with Batum. They seem to like Batum, giving him heavier minutes. I think last game he played 26 minutes. Yeah. He wasn't playing that much minutes over in Clipperland. So it's boggling to me the difference there. So I would, if you were in a 12 team, just looking at minutes, I would go with Batum. But if you're in one of our leagues, you know, 14 team, 12 team with 14 team, 16 team sponsors, Covington's also nice. Get you some steals. There's no issues with that, getting those steals for them. But Batum's going to give you probably heavier minutes moving forward.
Yeah. And one more guy I want to mention is I don't want to say Paul Reed is out of the rotation, but maybe they can finesse getting him in more, but. Philadelphia, that rotation is pretty tight, but they're going to have to pick something else. Yeah.
They're you know, Nick Nurse too, man. You know how when he was with the Raptors, man, they like to play that 8-man tight rotation. Issue with Paul Reed is for some odd reason they won't play him a lot of minutes next to Embiid. So it's tough. So we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. There's a game tonight, so we'll know a little bit more what they do tonight. That we'll keep you guys updated for sure.
Gotcha. And actually, I'm going to change some things up. Let's do a little buy and sell, LT.
Okay.
Okay. So a player that I was hyped about this year, and I'll take that L, knowing that I am wrong on, is Jordan Poole, man. would you try to buy low on him, or are you just like, yeah, I think I'm cool on him?
You know what's so funny about Jordan Poole is it makes me realize how. It was like just how it distracted me from getting Kuzma. Like, it's like I forgot all about Kuzma, and Kuzma was good, was pretty good last year. And his usage rate was pretty high last year too. I just completely forgot about Kuzma because we think everybody was looking at that new, you know, pool in this new area from all the stuff. And I wish I had more shares of Kuzma, but I wouldn't sell him yet. I imagine Poole will, that team in general will be a little bit better than they have been. Mm-hmm. It really has been pretty bad all around. Like, it's just not Poole. It's they've been losing by a lot. They lost again to the Nets without everybody. Like, Nets, they have like Lonnie Walker. And I think your boy Dennis Smith was Dennis Smith. They lost. They had everybody out, and for some odd reason, they still lost. The Wizards did. So, I think my guy Denny's had the most points in that game. The Wizards are a mess. So it's they're really bottom of the barrel, and so I just expect Poole to play better and closer to Kuzma's level moving forward. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't sell him yet. You probably get it, you know, fourth round pick. Third round, yeah. You know, and so if you play a premium, you got to hold out.
Yeah.
What do you
think? Yeah. Can you hear me? Cause I got cut off there.
Yeah. I can
hear you. Perfect. Yeah. You point out a lot of stuff here. So let me backtrack a little bit. Last year when he was in Golden State, you know, he played 82 games, pretty much every game. Right. So his usage rate was 29%. This year you would expect, you know, going to Washington, pretty much supposedly taking the reins of the team. Yeah, you had mentioned What's that other the player that's doing good this year? I'm sorry, you just said his name. Yeah, Kuzma. The Kuz, he's been doing pretty good this year. Like, but you would still think Poole would just, like, I wouldn't say overtake, but like maybe he's going to be option A or option A1 or A1B. You know what I mean? Either way, like, you knew he was going to get the shots. But this is really strange. In Golden State, he took 15 shot attempts a game. This season, in 9 games, still too early in the season, but only, not only, he's taken 14 attempts. You would have thought, at least in my eyesight, that he would have been taking at least 3 to 4 extra shots easily and immediately this year. No, he's one shot attempt less this year. And his field goal percentage, I mean, that's kind of to be expected, right, to dip. But he's not really – obviously, we know he's a good shooter, but his field goal percentage is you're pumping up the volume with him, essentially. But to see his usage rate to be pretty much 2% down from last year in Gold State really is a concern. Yeah, like what LT said, you would expect if you drafted him, because you had to pay a premium on Poole. Like he said, like in some leagues, he went third round. And honestly, like in my head, I'm just like, I think I might pull the trigger on him in the third round because I wanted him that bad. But another thing that just bothers me about it is, in Washington, he's averaging close to 28 minutes a game, but Golden State, he had 30 minutes a game. Like, what's really happening? Like, let him just play, and whether he does well or not, let him learn to just do this. And obviously, his points are down this year, too. His threes are down. His assists are down. The only thing that is more of a positive thing is he is averaging a legit steal a game. And even his charity stripe is trash this year. He's not even going through the free throw line more this year. He's less this year. And he's shooting bad at the charity stripe at 76% versus 87%. Like, I'm seeing all this, and it is bothersome. But at the same time, you know, if you paid the premium, you know, you got to try to deal with it. But honestly, I would still also, if I had him on my team, I would be open to the market to see what I could get. But to be honest with you, you're probably not going to. So in reverse, would I buy him? I would see if I could get him. I'm not confident to say that, but I would try to get him, but I'm not going to pay a lot for him, you know? So here's the question that I want to throw back to you, LT. Would you trade Jaylen Brown for Poole?
No.
That's what I'm saying. And that's like, yikes, but go ahead.
Do that. Nah, I wouldn't do that. And then, like, today's game is like a huge, like, barometer of what's wrong with Poole. Like, he fouled out. Like, he fouled out of this game. Only took 12 shots. 0-for-1 from the charity, like you mentioned. 2 assists, 3 turnovers, no steals today. Had a block, but who, you know, that's a whatever. Now, the rotation on the Washington Wizards today, for y'all listening, was pretty tight. 9-man rotation. Looks like Bilal Akulabali, Kispert. For some odd reason, Gallinari is getting playing time. And Landry Shamet. Like, the people on this team are wild. Starks. Like, I was like, the fact that Gallinari is still in the NBA is wild to me. So maybe they're trying to figure out their rotation. This rotation looks way better than what I've seen. So maybe they're trying to get that rotation down a little bit. So we'll see. But yeah, I wouldn't buy, and I don't think you could sell them for a lot. I don't think you can sell them for a lot, especially where you draft them at. I think you're kind of stuck. You know, got stuck with the pool shark.
Yep. So let's see here. Do you have a player in mind that, you know, you're maybe interested in selling if you had them, and sell them like hotcakes?
Mikal Bridges.
For real?
Yeah. Guys, if it's not already, you know, if it's not already known, I think that's Cam Thomas's team. I think we've all seen enough. I think the reins have been, I think Cam Thomas took him.
Wow. That's bold. Go ahead.
I think he took him. I don't. I think it was supposed to be Mikal Bridges' team. And Thomas said, "Nah, actually, my team, dog." Wow. So if you have Mikal Bridges, he was a second, third round pick for sure. You're not grinning from ear to ear. You're just not. He's been better. He's been better, but Cam Thomas is hurt. So there's that. When Cam Thomas comes back, he's going to take the reins again. He's going to shoot 30 times per game, whether Mikal Bridges wants him to or not. And he's going to score close to 30 points per game. It's just, he's a great scorer, better scorer than I would say Mikal Bridges. Now, defensive stats, we can get into that, right? But even Mikal Bridges is not giving you those stock stats that you know, those steals, all of those intangibles, those one-on-ones we like to see. He's just not doing it at a high clip like he was a year ago. And so I would sell him. I would sell Mikal Bridges if I could. You ain't gonna get money, nothing back. But I would definitely sell Mikal Bridges for Poole. I'd rather deal with Poole than Bridges this year.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Absolutely. And like, dude, that's Cam Thomas's team.
Oh, my gosh.
That's Cam Thomas's team, man. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Maybe Mikal will figure it out. I don't know. But, Yeah.
Listen, you're going to make a lot of listeners angry with what you just spewed out your mouth.
Like, they're going to be like, but listen, LT. Good. He did his last game, 11 for 29. Yeah, he took 30 shots. Yeah, I understand that. 27 points on 11 for 29 shooting. Great, right? 3 for 5 from the charity stripe, 60%. Excuse me? 4 turnovers and 1 steal with 2 assists. He had 13 rebounds. Okay. That's good. Good job, Mikal. No Cam Thomas. Okay, no anybody. That's from today. So that he did good today. Not really. No percentages. Percentages are awful. But nobody's there right now. No one's healthy. Okay, when Cam Thomas comes back, do this. Take your team back, Mikal. This is my public announcement. Take your team back, Mikal. 19.4 points on the year. 19.4 points. Let me click on Cam Thomas. Do you even want me to?
Oh, go ahead, for sure.
26.9 points per game. 26.9 on the season, guys. He's almost a full 7 points higher than Mikal on the season. Cam Thomas. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
I would take Poole every day of the week.
Oh, my gosh.
Poole's going to, he's going to chuck him up.
But. Yeah, man. You got some guts. I disagree, but I'm not mad at it. I just know that's gonna light a fire in a lot of people. But LT, all Cam Thomas does is score points, though. That's all he does. But he's inside like the top 40 right now. Mm-hmm. Now, but what LT, he originally, he's just coming off the bench because of Cam Johnson. He was hurt. So, you know, here's the thing. Listen, when it comes to fantasy GMs out there, it's not to say that things can't change because they can. I will say this, and we understand that Cam Johnson was out for a little while. So they inserted Cam Thomas, and he exploded. The thing is, what we forget is that Cam Thomas had a lot of flashes last year. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, we forgot that there was a time frame where he scored 30 points, like it was like 35 or something, 40, excuse me. I think it was like 3 consistent games of like 40 plus or something. 40, like.
40 point games, something crazy like that. I remember that.
And
sold them for hotcakes. I remember right after that. I remember that.
Yeah. And it is going to transition to what you got to say about a trade here, and I'm sure pretty soon. But the thing is that I think he's a bucket scorer. Like, he's legit. Like, I can't sit here and act like – so whether he just scores only or not, I think he's going to fall into lucky stats. And the lucky stats is almost averaging a steal. I mean, he was making more snipes this year. going at the charity stripe a lot more, regardless if he comes off the bench when he returns. Now, that is the concern, right? But to me, like, if he comes off the bench, that's fine. But to say, like, Mikal Bridges, now I'm going to make fantasy GMs mad. Since you did, I'm going to make them mad too. All right. So I'm more happy now, because this would be a lie, but I think I'm more excited about Miles Bridges. So if you were like, Starks, would you take Miles Bridges or Mikal Bridges? Oh my gosh. Like, it should be Mikal Bridges easy. It should be, but I don't know. I mean, I'm a little weird out in Brooklyn, but I'm going to take Miles Bridges at this point.
I don't like Miles Bridges whatsoever.
I know you do.
Person or a player, and I would take Miles Bridges over Mikal Bridges. And
oh, gosh. Yeah, go ahead.
I would take Miles Bridges over Mikal.
And, oh, my gosh.
You guys out there, Dinwiddie is exposable. Let's be honest. He's not. Listen, they're not starting Dinwiddie over Cam Thomas if they're both healthy. There's no way. I don't see it. Now, if they do, I'm gonna eat my dirt. I'll eat my dirt. I'll sit down with the worms. But they're not playing. They're not starting Dinwiddie over Cam Thomas. There's no way after what Cam Thomas has done before his injury. And I think Dinwiddie's hurt a little, ouchie too. So they're not starting Dorian Finney-Smith. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Royce the 5'9". Come on, guys. Let's be honest, okay? Cam Thomas has inserted himself in that lineup with injuries, and he's taking the reins, okay? He is the captain now. So you guys gotta realize that. And again, I get it. Defensive stats are important. Mikal Bridges may still, you know, but I think on a scoring is also important. Scoring, pumping up the volume, as Starks likes to say. Those are all very important aspects of opportunity in fantasy, and Cam Thomas is just taking them. He's taking the shots. We'll see. We'll see when he comes. We'll see.
I'll say this real quick in a deep format. I'm interested in Trendon Watford over there, coming off the bench. So, yeah. So this is going to probably be a controversial topic that me and LT is talking about. Especially the comparison of who would you rather have, a Miles Bridges and Mikal Bridges. And to say that Cam Thomas supplanted Mikal Bridges is really going to hurt a lot of people's ears. But LT, I drafted him in back end of the second round, early third round. Mm-hmm. And yikes, that's going to be a hurtful thing. Any last things that you want to say on that, man?
Mm-mm. No, it's sad to see. And guys, listen, I am a Mikal Bridges guy, okay? I had him. Maybe was it last year or the year before?
Yeah, you had him.
I had him before. Mikal Bridges. Listen, when he was on the Suns playing that three, I like Mikal Bridges, man. I think and I really wanted him to explode because I think he's a better player than just a 3-and-D guy, right? Because that's what he's been playing so far. But he's not doing it. And there is something people talk about Jordan and LeBron, killer instinct. And I just don't think Mikal has it. I don't know if he has it or not. I he smiles a lot. He's nice, cool, right? He's like he's always cheesing, man. And Cam Thomas, he's never smiling, man. He's like he got that Anthony Edwards about my business attitude. Mm-hmm. And he's a dog, man. You know, Cam Thomas is a dog when it comes to that scoring that rock. He might be the captain now. We'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see though.
All right, and then finishing the last couple of things, I'm sure LT wants to bring something up, is to, because we're recording while we didn't get to all the games on Sunday, or actually there's a lot more going on Sunday, but the Clippers lose again. So now they are 0-4 with Harden, man.
It's not about they lose. Who they lose to?
Yeah, man.
Lose to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies were, what, 1-6?
Man, what is their record? Let me check that out.
What were they? What were they? 1-6, man. They were 1-8.
Oh no, are they? Yeah, they are 1-8. Yuck.
1-8 coming into this game. 1-8.
Oh, that's gross.
1-8, and the Clippers lose. Another 2-9. So it just 2-8. So it's just it's bad, y'all. It's bad. Harden. If they don't turn it around, which they had a good start, so they, you know, they can lose a couple. But if they don't turn it around soon, Harden, they're going to have to make a change, and they're going to have to bring someone off the bench. They can't play those four guys.
Start. Yeah, they just can't. I don't see that either. They just can't.
Yeah, the defense. The Grizzlies scored 105. My boy Bane, 27 points. Bismack Biyombo, 13 points, 12 rebounds. Biyombo, what a pickup if you got him in your leagues. He's been balling. I wanted to touch up real quick on for the listeners, Skylar Mays. I understand that there's wasteland teams out there that a couple of you guys aren't even, you know, monitoring or aren't on your radar. But the Portland Trailblazers do exist. Okay. They do exist. They have been winning a couple games. Hey, listen, they've been winning some games, y'all. So don't turn around. Don't look away. But there's been injuries, a lot of injuries over there. Malcolm Brogdon, it's just the latest surprise. He's hurt. So, you have Scoot. Scoot just got an initial indication that he's going to another 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Bone bruise is what happened with Scoot. And so they're being safe. First, you know, their first round pick, they're going to be safe with Scoot. And then also, I think someone else, yeah, Anthony Simons. We know about the Simons injury that happened a while ago. Robert Williams, Time Lord, looks like he's going to be stuck in time some more this year. He's unfortunately out. Until next year, confirmed. So a lot of injuries. And so that this has given rise to Reach the Sky. Skylar Mays. You like that start. You like, I know you would like that. Reach the Sky. Skylar Mays. He is going to be starting. He's going to be kind of getting that Sharp treatment where Shaedon Sharpe has jumped in and just, I mean, the minutes have just gone crazy. November 8th, Skylar Mays played 36 minutes, y'all. 36 minutes, 18 points, 11 assists. 11 assists, 2 steals. Perfect from the charity, 8 for 15. He looked great. He looked great. He looked amazing. They signed him to a two-way contract. So they're like, they're all in. Blazers was like, hey, you, we're all in. So if you have him, definitely 14-team leagues, 12-team teams. If your bench... If you have Mikal Bridges on your team, go ahead and drop him. Pick him. No, I'm just kidding. Don't drop Mikal Bridges for Skylar Mays. But if you have someone at the end of your bench that you're kind of, if you're looking at like the Oubre, like if you just lost Oubre, whew, pick up Mays. Okay. Pick up Mays. He's a great pickup. And to fill in that Oubre, those Oubre shoes, I think he's a better pickup than, you know, Robert Covington or Nicholas Batum, those old fossils. So definitely Skylar Mays. What do you think, Starks, about Skylar's opportunity?
As I'm sighing to the listeners, LT like swiped them under my ears for like $0. I fell asleep that night.
You know what's so funny, Starks? Like I tried to pick up someone else too. I think I tried to pick up either Batum or Covington and I ran out of pickup, so it didn't go through. So it still
worked out perfectly.
Yeah, so I won't get one of those guys. But and then I did all of that. I was so into basketball, I completely forgot about football today. So there's that. So, but go ahead. Sorry about that.
No. You're good. You're good. So like I think Mays is a good pickup. I mean, all right. So speaking of Skylar Mays, man, I'm glad that you brought him up because it brought me to meet. To actually acknowledge another guy, LT, and it's Curious George, Keontae George, man. And it looks like he supplanted THT, and he's been looking. Now, obviously, he's not efficient right now. Most rookie point guards don't, I'm not going to say all of them, but a majority of rookie point guards don't start good in the NBA. Takes them a little while. Obviously, the exception when Lillard started was a little different and some other players when they were rookies. But I just want to say that last game that he had with 11 assists, that is a beautiful sight to see. And honestly, I would take a stab or a dart throw at him to, if he's available in any leagues, almost even potentially in a 10-man. But of course, in a 12-man league or deeper, you have to add him immediately. Now, is this going to stick that he stays in the starting lineup? I think it can, you know, so I don't know if I thought I recorded this. Maybe I didn't, because I thought I'd try to record an episode to go solo, but something happened. But I said earlier this year that I think that he's going to take the job at least within a month. But I mean, I wasn't there, but I was just 2 weeks, a little bit late. I will say that most people that I think I've heard in the industry was said like 2 to 3 months. So I'm humbly saying that it looks like my rustiness as far as podcasting and trying to get the analytics out there has slowly improved a tad bit, because I am still rusty. Like, forgive me. And I, you know, I can still mention, I'm going to boast on my errors most of the time, because I am not the same analytical guys I used to be, but I felt a little good to see that. That just kind of shows that I'm there's ways that I can improve in that. But anyways, 11 assists, 7 points. You're not really excited about that. The 2 for 12, you're not excited about that either. And he got a block, but the snipe, but it's the 11 assists you look at. And then the game prior before that, to 31 minutes, he had 9 assists. So LT, my question is to you is, do you think he sticks in the starting lineup rest of the season?
Yeah, I do. You know, I had THT, and I like them as a late round flyer just because he was starting and he was, I don't know why, but playing in a point guard role. Uh-huh. This team, and I thought he would stick just a little bit longer, man. I thought he would stay in that role just a little bit longer. But he's really a bench guy. He's a guy that's going to come out, give you 20 to 25 minutes per game. Still get you some low end assists. And if you're in like a 14 team league or a larger rostered league where you're playing multiple, like 14, 16 team type of rosters. But Keontae George is going to probably play the rest of the year at that point guard. The Jazz aren't that good. I don't know if they plan on, I don't know if he will stick past this year, if they end up picking someone better. But he's going to be an assist guy. I think he's an assist guy until he can figure out his shot. It does take point guards, like you stated, rookie point guards. It's rare for rookie point guards to come and be good in fantasy first year. It's very hard. That's why for Scoot, for a bunch of other guys, it's just hard to do, because the point guard position asks so much of you. It's tough. And, you know, so I think his assists, that's the thing that was THT, man. With Lauri Markkanen and with John, I was about to call him John the Baptist, John Collins, he's going to walk into 5 to 6 assists every night with those guys shooting the rock, and with John Collins, the alley-oops, you know, he's going to get 5 to 6, and then he can, you know, he's good enough in an actual point guard to procure more. So I like him for the rest of the year. If you got him, again, I went to go get him as a backup. As soon as I realized, I was like, oh, this ain't going to stick. And you had already swiped them up and stashed them. You got me there. So it's only right that I get Skylar Mays. I feel like that was,
dirty.
Yeah, dirty. And again, we did trade the Scoot. That trade is like, so just to jump into it, me Mark's trade, yep. Scoot Henderson for Ben Simmons. And that trade has been like, for both of us, it's been like whatever. Because, you know, maybe a little bit better for me just because Scoot, you know, Ben's been healthy longer. Mm-hmm. But they're both injured. They both haven't been great. Ben was doing okay for me. He was giving me all the stats that I expected him to do. I didn't expect him to score. But it felt like that trade right now is like a whatever burger. And then let me find this trade, y'all. Go ahead and you can take talk real quick. Talk about
Oh
man, I don't want to go into a trade.
Yeah, it's been a while since I did a trade. Well, I guess you could say take a ride, I guess. But as you're looking for that, I want to also say this real quick. I think, you know, thus far, the Ben Simmons for your side is looking a little bit better. I'm starting to have like a little bit of I probably shouldn't have done that. But obviously, yes, it's still too early to say that. And they really haven't done anything. But the stuff Ben Simmons does would be, I think it makes sense for the rebounds and like the ugly, grinding, dirty stats. Yeah. Like that's good to have on a fantasy team. But going back real quick on George, Kyrus George, I actually drafted him. as a late round. So it was one of those things that I thought, like, it was ingrained in my head, like, okay, maybe he can, in the beginning of the season, my idea was like, okay, he's not going to start, but I think he could potentially be a sixth man. And even that, that's where I was holding on hope to, because I'm like, this is why I'm drafting him. Because if he even has like a sixth man role, I think, of course, I mean, we all kind of thought he's going to take, you know, the reins, but the safer bet would have said, kind of like what LT said, like, it's too soon to kind of do that. Sometimes you do have to take a bigger swing. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, that's not a huge swing that I did. It's a small swing, but it's like, it's the what if game. And you could be the first person to do that. There's just certain players, if you have the luxury to do that, that's not always to do, because I understand that we have the mentality of like, I need to stream this player to get the categories, like stats, as quickly as possible throughout the week. And it's understandably, you know, especially if you're in a head-to-head league, you want to do the best you can to bury your opponent, because we're all rushing to get to the top. And then hopefully you get that bye week. But yeah. So was you able to pull up the trade there, LT?
I was.
Okay.
So on November 5th, we got a trade here. Where Starks traded over Tyler Herro and Cam Thomas. Now, okay, listen, like, it looks really bad right now. If these guys both come back healthy, we'll see. But right now, both of those guys, he traded both of those guys. Both of those guys are hurt to get Tyrese Maxey and Jabari Smith Jr. And Tyrese Maxey looks like just out of this world this year. Just out of this world. What was 9 for 9 from free throws last game? 29 points. This is his last five. 29, 25, 22, 22, 18, 26, 34, 31. I don't know how you have those games there and be like, yeah, let me trade them away. I just don't understand. You see those and you're like, yeah. Now, Tyler Herro was killing it. He was playing really well prior to his injury. So there's that. Cam Thomas, again, he looked really good until prior to his injury. So those two guys, once they get back healthy, it might be fine. But right now, it's looking like a really bad trade. Really, really bad trade if these guys don't come back and come back at the you know, the top flight. And that's why you traded Cam Thomas, right? You did not believe that would be his team, or that this production would keep up, Stark. So that's why you traded him away, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so I'm glad so that you brought that up. And then for in the deeper in context, yes, I sold him high like hotcakes. yes, this is being honest. So a little bit more in context that I'll say, because I know a lot of the listeners be like, oh man, you're just in a taco league to do that. Listen to what you need to understand something. Here's my cheat code when it comes to trades. And it's not that LT's used to stuff like this. He's seen a lot worse stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
But I will say this. When it comes to trades, a little bit of cheat code is, if a GM wants a player off your team, that's when you can squeeze the ball or squeeze the rock a little bit more. Because if they want a player, then you have to obviously be like, all right, if you want him, then this is what I need. And automatically in the other GM's mind, they're triggered in their mind like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Of course they're going to be like, no, I'm not going to do that. But there's always a still what if that I do that. So then you have to bring someone else in the partnership of the trade. And what I mean by that is Cam Thomas, guy that's a sell high. But the interesting thing is, I've always said it, as LT would, like, you know, I say this a lot, like, well, I give coaches what they want, right? This is something, like, he was actually looking at Cam Thomas too. Now, I will say this, I haven't really taken anybody for a ride for a long time. And that's what some of the people that I guess in the industry that I was around, that moniker that I carried. And that's just not, that makes a person a villain when you take advantage of someone in a trade, or someone says you're in cahoots, or like, is this, there's another word for it. If you're not in cahoots, what's that other word? I'm trying to look for LT, you know, like when you almost trying to team up to just do something bad for the league. I can't remember the word, but there was none of that happening for on what I'm trying to say. But the bottom line that I'm trying to get to is Jabari Smith, to be honest with you, I didn't really want him per se. But in my back of my head, I wanted Maxey really bad. The reason why I wanted Maxey, and honestly, if you really look at it, Maxey and Hero is almost a push, but I know everybody's like, well, I'd rather have Maxey. Yeah, that it would lean to the scale more on Maxey. But Cam Thomas, to me, there's still the possibility of him being more, but I don't think so. So realistically, coming back to this, this is interesting. I did the trade before the injuries happened. It's like LT, when he does trades with me, he always gives me this jutsu. He always trades and I get this player that gets injured like every single time.
Every time.
Go ahead.
No, it's funny. It's funny at this point. Every time. And I thought it wouldn't happen this time because it's a rookie, right? Rookie.
Oh, no. But it did. So this is what happened this time. I guess that juju LT's been doing with me the last couple years, because I haven't really traded. It's funny, LT. I haven't really traded with anybody but you somehow, small trades, every blue moon. But everybody else, I just stopped doing trades. But it's funny. It's like LT rubbed the juju on me, because both players I sent, the coach got the full game of Cam when he dropped like 49. He was feeling good. And I'm be honest, I was like, dang, I probably shouldn't have done that. And then Hero was doing good. But the game after that, they both had an ankle injury. One had the left ankle and the one had the right ankle. So I was really going to just like talk to Ray and bother him about it. But of course, like, I didn't even have time. He sent me a text like, hey, man, I want my players back.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops. Hey, I want them back. Like, two sorry.
Multi-week injuries for both of those guys, man.
Injuries. But the positive thing, though, I'm glad that they're not out for the whole season. I would have felt, bad. Like, if clearly, and if obviously for the GMs out there that has the players. But let's just say, hypothetically, LT, like, real quick, let's just say all four of them are, you know, healthy. What side would you actually rather have, though, honestly?
Yeah, again, I talked, you know, of course, Mr. Avatar State, Ray, called me to talk about this trade. Of course he did. Of course he called me to see, because everyone wants to win. And that's why I don't like about trades. Everybody wants to win a trade. Everybody wants to be the winner. They want the best part of the trade. To me, trades are to get pieces that you want and for another person to get a piece that they want. Winners and losers in trades are like okay, we'll see what happens, but unknowns are unknowns for a reason. When you trade players, you're not there really isn't a known, that you just don't know how things are going to shake out. Looking at this trade on paper, I told Ray or Mr. Avatar State here that it depends on Cam Thomas, right? Like, it all depends on Cam Thomas. Does Cam Thomas continue to score at a pace that was, I thought, wasn't humanly possible at first because of the role he was playing on the team? As time went on, injuries, you know, again, they have their abundant injuries. It looks like Cam Thomas, this is his team, right? Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully Mikal Bridges, you know, snatches the mic from him, okay, and starts singing his solo song. And he but right now, Cam Thomas is not no backup singer. he is the Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5 right now. And so I like his part of the trade, but if they get hurt, both of them, and they miss time, it's not worth it. Cause Maxey is a pretty healthy guy. And Tyler Hero is an ouchie. He gets ouchies. And so I think sometimes in trades, people also don't understand the it's like if someone traded Anthony Davis, it's like you're also taking on the risk factor of them missing time. And so Tyler Hero is one of those players. He might play and then not get hurt again, but he might actually get hurt again, because he does. He gets hurt often. Cam Thomas, I don't really remember him being injured a lot, but hopefully that's not a thing that happens a lot. But there's been a lot of injuries this year. So let's also just say that in general, there's been a lot of injuries. So I don't know if there, what's the reasoning for that, but it just looks bad now. Cause now he's not having those two guys doing anything for his team for the next couple of weeks. It could take them some time. You know, anytime with ankles, I give them another week after that to actually get back to form. So that's 3 weeks. That's three weeks of not winning your matchups, maybe, because you don't have these guys. And so,
yeah,
it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah. And also on top of that, like, and it was interesting because, like, Gray's the one that sniped me for Maxey coming back on the draft.
He was killing. It's not like Tyrese had, like, he was trying to sell him high. He was destroying his ADP.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroying his ADP. So it's like, I get it. Those guys, those are his guys. Like, he likes Tyler Hero, you know, My Hero Academia. He likes Cam Thomas too. I remember last year he wanted him too. I don't know. Did you trade him Cam Thomas last year too? Or
no, somebody else.
Somebody else wanted Cam. I thought he liked Tyrese Maxey. I know you like Tyrese Maxey.
Oh, yeah.
I know you do. He's a 9 for 9 from charity stripe. I know
that. Oh yeah, that has to be my new Harden. It has to.
Yeah, it has to. Either him or SGA, right? SGA is.
Him or SGA.
Fortunately, you gotta be a higher draft pick to get him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tyrese Maxey is that guy.
You instill in the ball real quick. Yeah, you pointed out something else that stuck out to me. I'm going to be honest. I did not want to trade Hero, like, at all, because he's killing his ADP. So there's two players that sticks out that killed in their ADP. Tyler Hero was one, and so was Maxey. Out of the two, looks like Maxey is the best player out of the – well, yeah. I mean, a little bit. I mean, obviously, he's, like, given first-round value, right? Yeah. But you brought up a good point. Tyler Hero, I've had him over years, and I think you had him too before. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets injured. He gets a little owies a lot. He just does. Like, I don't know. And sometimes, and I mean, like, this happens. You can't just be like, well, I can draft this player. He's an Iron Man. Like, not everybody's an Iron Man anymore in the NBA. Like, I used to think Damian Lillard was the Iron Man. You know, he's starting to, obviously, times have changed. He's getting a little bit older. Now he's getting owies, like, from time to time. But that was the thing that was making me like, yeah, I think I may trade him, because I think I either drafted him in the sixth or seventh round, might have been the seventh round, because my logic was this: for this year, Tyler Hero was coming out to prove something, I believed, and I thought he was a good value, which he was, because he's killing his ADP. He was inside, I think, like top 25.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because of the rumors, Mills, of Lillard going to Miami. So, like, he knew about that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, y'all want to trade me away? I'm going to show y'all. And that's pretty much what he was doing. Like, Jimmy Butler, don't get me wrong, is still essentially his team, but is it really? You know what I'm saying? Like, his game is dipped.
The same. Hey, him and Mikal Bridges are on the same bus, man. it seems like Bam's team now. You know what I mean? Bam's killing it. And I hate how I draft sometimes, because I had an opportunity to draft.
Get Bam.
And I'm like, he's too boring.
Yeah.
And so it makes me angry, because now I'm like, I would take boring every day of the week if that's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
With the production, Bam's killing it. And it seems like Bam, it's kind of taking that switch. Now, Jimmy, don't get me wrong, Jimmy's still that guy.
Yeah.
But it seems like on a per night basis, game to game basis, those scales are tipping to where it's Bam is doing the majority of the work each night, and Jimmy's taking some nights off, and Tyler Hero too. Tyler Hero and Bam are the two guys with the heavy.
Yeah.
Thing. And now that Tyler's, you know, Hero's out, definitely Bam. And again, Butler's still playing well, but and their draft positions are kind of similar. You know, Bam and Butler around the same area. So, but yeah, no, man, I'm with you 100%. Tyler Hero's draft position is also because he's owie. He gets owie a lot. And that's why he's later, on top of the fact of being the third guy on that team. But you have to take injury prone players and think about that when you're doing trades. Cause this is what happens. You trade Tyrese Maxey, who's been pretty much healthy the majority of his career. He's in a contract year, I believe. And so he's going to go out there and he wants to prove something, that he's better than Harden. He's a better fit for that team. And they've been winning. Embiid, like, geez, man, talk about people just absolutely dominating. Joel Embiid is dominating right now.
So is Max. Okay.
Yeah, the first three picks in the draft, you're grinning from ear to ear.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm agreeing with you, Stark. But Cam Thomas, it's all about health. Because if those two stayed healthy, I thought he won this trade for sure. Because I was a believer in Cam at this point. But if they're hurt, obviously he loses the trade, right? So just got to take that in consideration.
And then two more things, and then we'll close up shop here. I want to ask you, like, how is the Devin Booker situation feeling for you as a GM? That's frustrating, man.
Tough, man. Tough. So, this week was rough because my birthday was on Monday, and I kind of dropped the ball a little bit on playing players because I think I made some pickups. Mm-hmm. I hate how Yahoo scrambles your lineup at any time.
Yeah, so trash. Yeah.
From the free agency. I just don't understand it. Why are you scrambling? Why are you putting everybody on the bench? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they do that. So I just didn't. I was too busy doing other stuff and I didn't get to it. So I'm getting trash this week. So better weeks to come. But big ups to Redemption if you're listening to this. Hey, man, put a beat into me. Team's doing trash all year and all of a sudden wants to play up. I'm watching you, dog. I'm coming back for you. Don't worry. I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about Devin Booker. I'm also not too worried because I think the Suns, they have this, it's about championship mentality.
Yeah.
Anytime we have just a little owie, just something small, whether it's big or small. Because Booker, I've been keeping track of reports. Booker's still been like doing practices. He's still been doing good. They just don't want to chance it. They just anything small, they just don't want to chance it. I just don't like how he comes out. He's those two games I've had him. He's been great. He's been cool, man. And he's throwing out assists. I saw Bill play the other night. He's not him. So, when Booker comes back, I'm not scared anymore because I thought Bill was gonna come back and. He was going to – nah, it's Booker's team. Booker Durant, mm-hmm. and then Beal. I just hope he can get healthy, string along some good games. But it's just crazy because usually KD, I feel like him and LeBron, like you would worry about them at their age, but they've been playing like every game.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. So it and Booker's younger, so I just thought he would not be as owie, but – let's hope he gets everything, all these owies, all these missed games out of the way early, and then he strings it another some weeks because I need him. I need him for my fantasy team to being without him, and then a couple other everyone's dealing. I feel like everyone's dealing with some injuries somewhere along the way. It's been rough this early this year.
All right, right. So we're gonna go ahead and get to the clutch shots here, and this. Geez, there's two players that hurts me that I did not draft this year. And actually, one of them is the one of the main ones like I was like drumming the drum for. And I'll get to him and then another person that just – I knew he was good, but he really slipped under my radar. But the guy I want to talk about first is – I didn't draft him. I would have loved to is Chet Holmgren, OKC, man. And, there were some – points of this year that he was given first round value. He's given second round value, close to first. Mm-hmm. And obviously the style that he has is it's going to be like a obviously we know we're talking about Wimby and then like Chet Holmgren, like who is going to be rookie of the year, but it should be Wimby, but it could be like Chet is actually under the radar, is not getting talked. I mean, he's getting talked about, but not as much as Wimby would. But that's understandable, right? But the blocks that he's averaging, he's averaging a triple one this year. And for those that may not know, a triple one is if you average a 3-point shot, a steal, and at least a block. And he's shooting very good at 55% this year, at the charity stripe at 87%, scoring 16 points, averaging 29 minutes a game. a guy I was unable to get in any of my drafts, and I loved him before. So if you have him on your team, you're feeling good. So if you were somehow able to, like, have him and Wimby, and I think I could have pulled it off, but I made an error. Getting Jaylen Brown ahead of him, like, I didn't have to do that. I shouldn't have. But my mentality is, like, I need points. Because LT is starting to draft teams with points, and I pay attention to LT. It's been a while. I'm actually trying to get to a level, because I think you won last year, didn't you, LT, in the main league?
I am the champion.
Yeah, he's the champion. So, and the thing is, I used to always be the points master, right? And LT over the years is like secretly under the radar, just like, oh, okay. I mean, Starks is always like points, but he just secretly just came up over the years of gaining points and has always like surpassed me the last few years. So I don't think I didn't know, and that was unnoticed. So I just have like, okay, well, Jaylen Brown, give me some quick cheap points. And Jaylen Brown's been kind of he's been struggling. He's played good the last couple games, but he hasn't reached his ADP right now. Mm-hmm. So just to give a little bit in context, it was the fourth round, later in the back fourth round from what I believe I remember. It was either Chet or it was either Chet or Jaylen Brown. And I just kept thinking of what Jaylen Brown did to me every like every time I went against him in fantasy, I always get busted up. I'm like, I know Jaylen Brown's good, but like, come on, he's always busting me up. And complete opposite. We knew the dynamic of Boston changed when they added Porzingis, blah, 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 and like the Boston, like the usage, but he'll be fine, ladies and gentlemen. But to have Chet on your team, I would absolutely rather have Chet. And I know, obviously, Troy in our league, he will never trade, so there's not even a chance of getting him, right? Unless I did something crazy to pay, like, my first-round pick. But Troy, he's just a guy that doesn't trade. But one more person I want to talk about in this clutch shot that it just hurts me to see this guy's stats, like, almost every game because of how well he's doing. And it's Scottie Barnes, man.
Oh, that's that – hey. That was going to be mine. Scotty Too Hottie. Go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I was going to mention him too, man. I may have gotten it wrong. Now, it's early. Mm-hmm. I may have got the wrong Raptor. I got OG. Now, OG's still doing good. Don't get me wrong. But Scotty is taking the leap. Scotty Too Hottie, he's jumping off those bars, man. He's doing the full out squirrel, flying squirrel hops on off the ropes, man. He is looking like a absolute fantasy steal
this year. Oh my gosh.
Absolute steal. I knew one of those guys. I didn't think it was Siakam, even though he's playing better recently. I just thought OG would take that, and it's not like he's not. Uh-huh. OG's still doing, you know, pretty good. But Scotty is, I don't think it can keep up, but it's just, he's killing it right now, Starks. And I wish I had him on my any squad, any team.
So it hurts to see them stats like every game, just about a triple one player that's getting points. He's getting everything, 9.8 rebounds, like almost a steal and a half, 2 blocks a game, efficient. Charity stripe, not the best, but I don't care. Like everything else he's doing, he is filling the stat sheet. Like you're feeling great. So in closing on my clutch shot, I'll just throw a couple of names on there, LT, and I just want to know how would you do this? I'm just going to do a quick, who would you rather have? Would you rather have LeBron or Scottie Barnes?
Whew. Jeez, man. Probably Scottie Barnes, but that's close for me. That's close. Okay.
Would you rather have Kevin Durant or Scottie Barnes?
Scottie Barnes.
Okay. This is getting more interesting. Would you rather have Jason Tatum or Scottie Barnes?
Ooh, Jason Tatum. Okay.
Paul George or Scottie Barnes?
Jeez, man, I would rather have Paul George.
Now you see how this, like, the fantasy landscape can change really fast, and obviously sometimes it takes a while, but sometimes it can change instantly. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not saying what he's doing this production is sustainable, but to be honest with you, it's looking a little bit more realistic that he's going to. I mean, clearly in our eyes, at least mine for sure, he's going to finish inside top 25. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. But he could potentially finish in the first round value, which he is like right now. So that's crazy what he's doing right now in Toronto land.
the minutes, man. The minutes. Yeah. The minutes. Mm-hmm. So you know, you could maybe say, you know, he's playing high minutes. It's just that the blocks is what I don't know. Almost a double double average. I just the blocks, man. Two blocks a game. I just that is the biggest thing that I just didn't see happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So we will see. Rank 11. It's crazy. We will see, man. We'll see how if he can keep it up. The last two games hasn't been too efficient. Like yesterday's game wasn't his best game. 4 for 15. Actually, was 4 for 15 the game before then too. So he's had a couple bad shooting nights. So we'll see if that keeps up. But man, I love what Barnes and Noble's has done. Sky Duhati has done so far. Hopefully he keeps it up, man.
Yeah, and sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're recording this while like a whole lot of games that hasn't started yet. But I know as Ray is going to keep filling, the Avatar State is going to continue to be like concerned looking at Maxey. In 14 minutes, 25 points, and it's not even in, like, end of the second quarter yet. Yeah. So that is my clutch shot. I will pass you the ball, LT, for your clutch shot, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm going to be honest. I was gonna talk about Scotty Too Hottie. So I don't have any more other than a lot of injuries. So you guys out there that are dealing with some injuries, hopefully you guys have updated your you know leagues to ILs, got some multiple IL spots, IL plus, and it looks like teams are being a lot more they're taking it a lot safer with their players this year than I've seen in years past. So just keep that in mind for future years. These little tic-tac injuries, and they're like, no, you're not playing this game. No, you know, they're taking at least a game off. So other than that, I got nothing else. Starks, it looks like, just to give an update on Batum and Covington, they're both about 11 minutes in right now. Covington took them off the bench, but it looks like Batum is getting the start and getting the minutes, and he's producing some stock stats so far. As this week goes by, we'll update you on some of those role positions. Skylar Mays, Miles Bridges should make his appearance this week. Keontae George, we'll keep track of him. We'll keep track of all these guys for you. Oh, I do want to talk about someone real quick off of the Hawks. Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, Jalen Johnson, I think is his name.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I missed him completely.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He's been killing. He's come in this role, 14, averaging 14.8 with about almost 3 assists a game. He's been great. He's probably gone by now in most leagues, but if he's not, pick him up off the Hawks. He kind of took that starting. We knew Bay Blades wasn't Sadiq Bay. We knew Bay Blades wasn't going to stick around too long in that starting unit. I didn't think it was going to be this quick. Jalen Johnson's taking those reins. So other than that, Stark, that's all I got, man.
Okay. So listeners, we thank you guys for listening out there and still being, faithful to us, in the time span that we've taken off. A lot of it's been just busy on my end for sure. And I mean, sure as LT as well too, but you guys can find me on my X handle. It's @Starks_industry. And you can also find me on Threads @Fishersman21. Where can I find you out, LT?
You can find me at same on Instagram and X, LT the Sage. Might switch back to Storm Sage, but LT the Sage for now. Ask any questions, any updates, anything, man. Be glad to talk to y'all.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening in. Have a good evening, morning, afternoon, and take a ride.